With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome to the Masters Week. It is the PGA DFS First Look Show for the Masters. And, well, everybody, we've got not one, not two, but three millionaire makers to talk about this week. That is a first, at least for me. I mean, I've been doing this quite some time, and I don't think before me millionaire makers even existed before I started doing this. So, Jeff, do you think that that adds to the lure of it as I bring you guys in, Max, as well? Thank you for joining. What do you think, Jeff? Do you think that's just adding to the kind of stigma around the event, or is that not much of interest to you?
No, it's definitely cool. I mean, I think it just shows the growth in golf interest, right? I mean, it's become a huge betting market, obviously. People super interested in hitting like the long odd winner. But again, for DraftKings purposes, I mean, now we saw this trend start at the Masters. The Masters is where the first millie maker was on DraftKings. And you know, we've seen these just be hugely popular events. So it just shows how interested people are in the major championships. It's an awesome week.
It really is. And Max, before I bring you in, if you guys don't want to go down the lottery ticket route or maybe the top millionaire makers a little bit too expensive for you, try out Monkey Knife Fight, the sponsor of our show. They are going to be having a ton of player prospect contests for the Masters this week. You've got stuff like over-under on birdies for every player in the field and so many more contests like that. And guess what? You get to choose your buy-in level and the entries that you do. So you have total control and you don't need the time commitment to put in and learn ownership and all that. So check out monkeyknifefight.com. And of course, with your first deposit, using promo code AUSMO, you're going to get $50 free. Max, we love free money here, and you coming off of a good week. I'm sure you're excited to start building lineups. Are you excited for the three millionaire maker thing going on, or are you going to just focus on one of the three?
No, I just throw everything in all the tournaments that I can. So if I bink one, I can bink them all and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Hey, listen, seeing the possible winnings of $3.3 million is got to be pretty exciting in any DFS sport out there.
People love building, like, lineup with all the first six golfers to tee off so they can see those winnings, right?
Hey, screenshot equity, right?
Exactly.
totally get that. So, all right, let's jump in. We're going to do just a quick little review of last week, but within there, you're going to find a ton of information for this week. First, I want to talk about Spieth's dominance. And yes, we may have talked about it last night, just a little bit, but after a couple of hours, maybe 12, 13 hours to review this a little longer, we see just how good he played versus the field last week. And now, Jeff, we know the field wasn't that great, but it just goes to show. I mean, he beat Matt Wallace and Lucas Glover by four. Charlie Hoffman, who had been playing some really good golf, beat him by two. And the rest, I don't think anyone got within five or six after that. So looking back on it, even though it was a bad field, he played really, really good.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's true. Like, you should take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. It's a Valero Texas Open, right? It wasn't the U.S. Open or anything like that. But at the same time, I think you need to look at it to where Spieth's price is today. Even with the salaries coming out early, they priced Jordan Spieth at 9,400. They kind of priced him up. Like, they were almost putting this in, like baking in like a little bit more good play from him at 9,400. He's in front of Reed. He's in front of Finau. But even then, even with baking that good performance in, now he's coming off a win. He still feels underpriced. So you can make all the counter arguments you want. And again, it was just the Valero Texas Open. It was a good win, but he still feels a little bit underpriced here, right? Like maybe mightily underpriced. So it's a big milestone for Jordan, obviously, but it's just that we're at the Masters. This isn't the US Open. This isn't Torrey Pines. It's the Masters. He's never missed the cut here. He was second on debut. Like he's just in a spot now where he's potentially going to be one of the more popular players of the week. And he probably should be at this price.
Yeah, rightfully so, possibly. Some other notables, there were 23 golfers that played last week, Max. We mentioned on our Masters Roundtable that we felt there'd be a pretty big correlation between the two courses. So beyond Spieth, any other names that kind of stuck out to you? Obviously, Matt Wallace saying the best tee to green he's ever played. Pretty cheap here this week. Maybe a couple of the names, Ryan Palmer. I've got my eye on him, I'm not going to lie. How about anybody else?
Yeah, Matty Wallace is definitely interesting. I mean, just crossed tee to green. Yesterday, I feel like he should have done better, just couldn't make a putt yesterday. I feel like he definitely had a chance to come in second, maybe give Spieth a run for his money. I also like Gary Woodland, definitely a guy with some pedigree and another guy that's been crushing the ball off the tee. I feel like he's lost weight and somehow gained like 10 yards on his drives, which is something we don't often see. As far as other guys, it was just a bunch of I'm looking at the guys that did the best tee to green last week. And other than Matty Wallace, Hoffman and Spieth are the top three. It was just kind of guys that we don't expect to do that well normally. Munoz was up there again. He's been playing some pretty good golf lately. Very good on approach and finally putted pretty well. Lanto Griffin was another guy that played, I thought he played well, but the tee to green didn't translate into a good finish just because his putter was cold.
Yep.
So yeah, I would look at guys like that have been striking it well and hopefully the putter comes around.
Yeah, Jeff, you see on the screen there the name Gary Woodland in the top 10 values of last week. Max just mentioned that he seems to be hitting the ball further. He did go through that kind of body transition the opposite way of Bryson DeChambeau. He got much leaner. Maybe he needed to. I'm not sure. Did have some injuries, but could he be in play this week? I think he's down at 6,700, 6,800.
It's pretty interesting. I know we talked about him briefly on the show yesterday. He did gain a lot of strokes around the green. Still just a very up and down player, when it comes to getting up and down, quite frankly. So not the greatest Augusta record, but I am interested for sure. Gaining obviously pretty solid off the tee. The one name that's not on here and the one name wasn't brought up, Siwoo Kim, getting strokes everywhere last week. It wasn't a massive week for him, but T23, just going under the radar, this guy. Like, let's not forget, he was top 10 at the Players a few weeks ago. I just still feel like he's got the best upside there. And I'd love to see that he put in another strong performance at Valero, which again, good correlation to the Masters. So for me, that's just another player I got my eye on. But Woodland, definitely, there are some really interesting plays under 7K. And I think it's going to lend itself to more of the Stars and Scrubs construction this week.
Very weird omen going on here for Ryan Palmer. I brought him up in my little segment, but what they did this year in match play, they actually assigned finishing positions to every single player in the field, which I thought was interesting. And Ryan Palmer, they assigned him 17th. Well, he finished 17th last week. and he finished 17th at the Players. So three straight in a row. Could it be four in a row? At 6,500, Max, just a quick note on him. I'll take that right now. I mean, that's a pretty good return.
Yeah, definitely. The guy is playing well. My only worry is he's played a lot of golf lately. He went pretty deep in the match play and then another four rounds. It's kind of the same thing I feel like with Scottie Scheffler. Wait, he played like 11 rounds of golf in 2 weeks. Like, I know the guy is young, but that's a lot of golf. I'm definitely interested in Palmer. But I feel like the one guy we didn't talk about yesterday who's going to be mega chalk is Corey Connors, right? Like 6,900?
Yep.
And just been crushing. Yeah, been crushing lately. And the putter is coming around. And it's another guy, when he putts, he's just going to be up there because he's so good tee to green.
Yeah, he definitely will. So a couple of other names that we mentioned briefly. Cameron Champ came in 30th. Definitely a guy that I'd be on the lookout for. But he's been so bad this year that I'm not sure I'm ready to go back into him. So, okay, let's just go over our quick review where maybe a couple of players that aren't playing this week will get mentioned. But as you see on the screen here, the top 10 DK value in points. And then, of course, the ownership. I can talk about the ownership quickly. It was a chalk week last week. Only three missed cuts in the top 11 golfers owned. Four top 10s, including numbers one and two. Spieth and Hoffman, both in the top six or seven guys owned. So it made it really tough. Even if you had Jordan Spieth, didn't necessarily mean you were going to win. And I will show you that when we get to the pro review here in a couple of slides. But next, a couple of other guys mentioned. Anirban Lahiri and Lucas Glover had a great week for their salaries. Tom Hoge showed up again. He's kind of a guy, Jeff, another one that we might want to profile is a boomer bust guy, right? A guy that missed the cut quite often. But when he does make the cut, puts up some points.
Yeah, it is Tom Hoge's MO, like just from his whole career. Like he's either missing like four cuts in a row or he's finishing like T9 or something, right? Or even competing for wins. So yeah, and it's in these type of events too, you know, like the second tier events where he kind of gets it going, he gets a little bit of confidence. He doesn't close out. Oh, he's come really close. I think it was at the Sony Open. So yeah, a player you should just think about as a pure GPP dart in events like this. Obviously popping again. Keith Mitchell, again, someone else there. Kelly Kraft, actually, I just didn't even realize there, but he's up there again.
Yeah, guy we talk about a lot, too.
Ton of names like that this week, though, right? So, but Tom Hoge, definitely like the leader for that kind of player. The Valero always, you know, with this kind of field, you're going to see names like that.
Matt, Max, Packin Kazire is just crushing me right now. Continue to fade the guy. And I mean, he profiles kind of like a mini Spieth, like gets it done with the putter a lot. He's my type of guy. I just don't play him. He crushed it again last week.
Yeah, I never play the guy. Just never know when he's going to putt well. Or if he doesn't putt well, he basically comes in like dead last. So it's just never a guy that I'm interested in. But wasn't he like pretty chalky last week?
Kind of. That's why I was going to fade him. He was right around 10%.
That's just way too much ownership on a guy like that.
It sure is. All right, let's move on to the optimal, which I just go over quickly. That was 47,800. I guess not that much of a surprise given the strength of the field. We see a lot of variability in terms of the golfers that end up in an optimal lineup in these type of fields. But the number one player in the field or the odds favorite, Jordan Spieth, was, of course, part of it. Charlie Hoffman, of course, part of it. Then Wallace, Glover, Snedeker, and Lahiri. Of course, Glover had that amazing Sunday with an eagle and a birdie streak in there. And then, of course, the Erie. So 47-8, obviously tough to get to. When we compare that to our top GPP lineup, had Spieth and Hoffman, obviously. But it filled up 49,900. It used Cameron Tringale, no surprise, Matt Wallace, Chesson Hadley, and Camille Vijegas. Here's another one, guys. I want to talk to you about this for a second. We don't have it maybe this week, but certainly next week. There are a couple of guys that have said, hey, this is my favorite course on the PGA Tour. Well, Chesson Hadley specifically said it's one of his top three favorite weeks of all year. And here he is as part of the top GPP lineup. Max, how do we quantify that? Should we look into that more? Or is this just randomness hitting?
Just narrative street, right? Yeah. I actually saw his tweet. Like, he brought his whole family there.
Yeah, you know, man. I mean, he brought it all together. It's weird.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I don't know. I actually think the guy's super talented, right? Like, he can make birdies in bunches, but you just never know when it's going to come. But yeah, I don't think there's any way to quantify what he's tweeting about week in and week out.
Jeff, I mean, what about you? Did I saw it? I played him like 7% because of it. I'm not gonna lie to you. It ended up working out, obviously.
I mean, it.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, "What's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?"
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess.
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's one of those narrative things, again, like for weaker field events. I want to say you should be paying attention to it, but you kind of should be, right? I mean, Chesson Hadley, I agree. I mean, the guy can make birdies in bunches, and we've seen him go on runs. And again, he's very much Tom Hoagie-esque. He does it in these type of events, like the Safeway Open and things like that, right? So, yeah, it was a good call. I remember you bringing him up. I think you brought him up last week as well. So it was a good call. I really wish I'd gone on Matt Wallace there again. A guy I was all over. I can't even remember which event it was now. It was in Florida or something. But and he missed the cut, and then he bounced back here. So Hadley, yeah. These are guys that pop. These are what makes these events so interesting and so, you know, frustrating at the same time. If you can pick out these like sub 5% guys, you have massive weeks.
It really does. All right, let's move on to the pro review part where we check in on, we're just going to do two this week. We're going to check in on how Alex and I built our GPPs. Then, of course, we'll do a lineup review. We'll do why my Spieth lineup wasn't even close to the cash line and why Max's Spieth lineup took it down or took a lot of contests down, I should say. So let's start off with the pro review with Alex. He had 63% of his lineups gone at the halfway mark. That is going to be tough to recover from. He had been on a great stretch. I tried to talk him into Spieth over Finau. I could not get him to buy in, sadly. That was probably the deciding factor in his week. 10 golfers owned over 20%. So your GPP players for this week, the $10, whatever you're playing in, this is how I would build most weeks. Maybe a little high on the Tony Finau on my side. For me, for my liking, my top ownership, which you'll see in a second, was 42%. That's where I like to stay. However, it's not going to be able to be that way this week. We'll get into that. However, going in, only three in the top 10, along with three missed cuts for Alex. 74 total golfers, which is probably right around the mark, which you want to be in a field like this, maybe a little high. When we go into mine, we take a look. I had 43% Jordan Spieth, 30% Abraham Answer, 29% Corey Connors, and so on. But Jordan Spieth was my only guy that ended up in the top 10. So, Jeff, it doesn't matter if I have the winner. I got to have a couple of other guys, and I just didn't.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm just looking at Alex's ownership. It just looks very much like the player pool I was on. I went Fino over Spieth as well. But, yeah, I mean, the Spieth – look, and the thing is, Spieth was chalky, right? So yeah. It wasn't, like you said, one of those weeks where if you just had the winner, you could get by and like, come through with the big cash. You needed a few other plays. You needed to hit on a couple of lower-owned guys, as we'll probably see in Max's lineup. I believe he hit on numerous ones. So, yeah, all things considered, like you'd think this would be like a really solid week with the winner over 40%, but you needed to, we just had so many guys like low owned kind of pop up into the top 10 that you also needed that kind of co-pilot. So,
yeah, Max, I missed Charlie Hoffman. That was key. Charlie Hoffman is Abraham Answer, this is probably a totally different story because Neesmith put up 70-ish points. Doug Gim put up 55-ish. That would have gotten me a lot closer to the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, definitely. Like Sam Burns hurt everybody, right? Like,
yeah, he did crush just, everybody.
He really did.
I mean, I think he made like three or four birdies. It's just crazy for a guy like that hits it far and gives himself a lot of good looks. But yeah, I mean, like you said, Charlie Hoffman scored almost as many points as Spieth. Yeah, I think he had like four or five less points. Yeah. So you kind of needed him. And I think he was, if not the chalkiest, so the second chalkiest to Finau out of everybody that was owned. So if you didn't have the Spieth Hoffman combo, I think you missed out on the top 1% or whatever.
Yep, totally agree. That's kind of how it goes. Again, a decent pool, but not a good return. That's why you see DFS, PGA DFS, you don't just need the winner. Got to get some other guys in there to be competitive. So let's go and see how I built my 4 of 6 lineup. Again, you guys just mentioned Sam Burns crushed everybody. I also got sucked into the Zach Johnson has made every cut since I don't even know when. I thought just this event would play tough. It did. And he would be able to sneak through the cut. And if Spieth won, which he did, I just need 4 or 5 other guys to get to the cash line. Well, everything panned out except for my guys were terrible in that. Will Gordon was legitimately the lowest point scorer of golfers that made the cut. Doug Gim was fine. Lanto Griffin was fine. But with so many good players in that range going off, it just wasn't able to get it done. That's pretty much all I got to say about that. Let's go to a good lineup and Max's and talk about some guys that actually did hit, Jeff, because I'm done talking about my garbage player pool outside of Spieth. He did find himself to Charlie Hoffman. He also found himself to Chase Seifert, who had another pretty decent start for the price. And Joseph Bramlett. I know he popped up in Puerto Rico, but that was – or Dominican, I'm sorry. Quite a gamble, though, there down at – I think it was, what, 6,500 last week, Max?
Yeah, I think he's actually made, like, 7 of 8 cuts coming in. The only cut he missed was when he completely imploded – and shot like 8 over at the Honda.
On day 2?
Yeah, was on day 2. Yeah. Okay. I think he was T3. He almost pulled the full Keegan there at the, I think it was at the Honda.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
But the guy's been playing well. He definitely popped for me in the strokes gain categories. And I also kind of went with the late early narrative for the weather, for the wind weather. And he had legit like the last tee time on Thursday. So I thought that would help him. I actually played him 100% across my 3 lineups. Just because I thought between the weather edge and the tee to green edge, I thought he would do well. And he didn't even putt that well. Like he missed a ton of good looks. So I feel like he could have scored much better than he actually did.
Speaking of Matt Neesmith, there he is in the lineup. Jeff, I thought maybe he was going to go through a little bit of regression, but he played well at Honda. So I did jump back in as well. And yeah, 6,700, he was just about a 10X return, which was great. It was better than average last week.
Neesmith was like one of my only good calls of the week. Same with Seifert, actually. Actually, looking at Max's lineup, it's funny because those are two guys I did sprinkle into my 3 maxes and stuff. I just was completely off on the top 3. So I agree. Like those guys made sense. Seifert's playing well. And again, this is the type of event where you figure, okay, maybe he's not going to win or maybe he just even regresses a little bit. He's still going to make the cut because he's playing so well. So made a ton of sense to me to go with him. Neesmith, again, I thought was a really good pivot off of Harry Higgs too, who was getting a ton of heat last week. So that really worked out.
I tried playing them both. I'm not going to lie to you. I tried playing both Higgs and Neesmith.
I mean, I might've had a Higgs lineup as well, but Neesmith definitely way lower ownership.
Other thing I wanted to bring up here, relatively chalky with Tringale and Hoffman, but you see in single entry stuff last week, I think it'll be much different this week. Last week, people weren't ready to give it to Jordan Spieth, so great leverage spot to use him in the single entry, Max, of course. And then your 3 guys that were below 10%, that's the key to winning these GPPs. But it goes to show you, you can play a little bit of chalk in these single entry stuff and be able to hit the top of the board as long as you play the right one. So Max, obviously fading Tony Finau last week. Was that the easiest call of the week for you, or was there something a little easier?
I did play in 1 of 3. I kind of actually went 1 Spieth, 1 Decky, and 1 Finau. Okay. Just because I thought they all had winning upside last week. And I was all in on Hoffman and Tringale, really. You can't avoid all the chalk, right? Like, chalk is chalk for a reason.
For a reason, exactly.
Yeah. But you can find edges here and there, like the Harry Higgs, the Neesmith call. Just because Harry Higgs just makes a ton of bogeys, right? Like, that's something I look at every week, is kind of who's giving themselves the most opportunities for birdies and who has been trending in making more pars than bogeys. And that's what gets you to the top of the leaderboard. Like, I know it's really simplistic, but that's kind of how I look at it. Especially for guys that are not well-known players, like just coming out of nowhere, like a Neesmith or a Seifert guy. And that's how I judge if they're playing well. Just looking at tee to green, I don't think gives you the whole picture. You need to see who is really trending in the scoring.
Totally agree. And a lot of that stuff we do provide. And if you're not an Osmo Plus member, well, perfect week for that. It's the Masters week, of course. And we've got a promo code for you. You're going to use promo code Dustin. the USTIN. I guess he is the defending champion of the event, so he is warranted of all of the talk this weekend. What this promo is going to give you, a buy one, get one. So $29.95 for 1 month, and you're going to get the second month free. So 60 days of Osmo Plus coverage. What that's going to give you? Well, that's going to cover almost every single major. Of course, the Masters this week, PGA coming up in a month, US Open coming up at the end of the 60 days. So a great time to join. With that, you're going to get player projections, ownership projections, premium Slack chat where you can message me, Max, Jeff, Ben, all the team at any point asking us questions about lineups and so much more. So get on in. That's promo code Dustin again. So let's go ahead and start to preview the Masters a little bit. There are 88 players here this week. Mentioned a little bit last night that maybe more of a WGC type of feel because there's only 88 players, 8 past champions, 8 what I'd say tourney winners, and 3 amateurs. So right there, Max, I've counted 19 golfers that probably aren't going to be a factor this week. That brings us down to 68, 69 players. Top 50 make the cut. So not really a lot of golfers going to miss the cut this week.
Yeah, definitely. And there's just a lot to go around this week, right? Like, you can pretty much find a reason why anybody could do well here out of those 50 or 60 guys that you mentioned. A lot of guys playing well coming in that are in the lower price range. Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people will skip the 10K plus range just because those guys like Dustin and Rahm even are not in the best of form. I think if one of those guys won recently, you would see a lot more stars and scrubs. And I feel like people will gravitate to like the 9s and the 7Ks more than the 6Ks.
For sure. And Jeff, I think on that, you know, I mentioned 19 players that you can maybe write off. Of course, there's going to be a couple of guys in there, and I don't want to take anything away from the tournament winners like, you know, Michael Thompson, Stuart Sink, Brian Gay, who granted, you know, had a great breakthrough, and they're going to parlay that breakthrough into a trip around Augusta for at least 2 rounds. So that's a good benefit. But before we jump in, do you think any of those players, any older, you know, I mean, Bernhard Langer seems to make the cut every week. But do you think there are any really below the radar guys, maybe like Michael Thompson, that you have your eye on this week coming out of those categories?
I mean, okay. I mean, if we're cutting it down to like kind of sub 63.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you bring up Michael Thompson. That is probably where my eye would fall. I'm not going to play any of the past champions. You know, the prices, they need to be like in the 5K range or something, you know, sure. Or something.
Which
like
would
that.
Make it really interesting, actually.
It would make it super interesting, and I wish they do that. Yeah. I think they kind of used to do that. I can't remember back. But anyways, I really do think, like, Stenson, to me, like, down there, it's kind of Stenson or Michael Thomas. Thompson, excuse me. Yeah. Thompson is an interesting player. You know, he was a pretty solid amateur. Like, this is a dude who has competed a little bit at major championships. And I'm not making, like, a huge case for him here. I'm just saying, if you have a big player pool or something and you're looking for a player in this range, I feel like his upside is probably maybe just a little bit bigger than most people are going to give him credit for. He's a dude who can get insanely hot with his putter. We talk about guys needing to hit like 7-footers this week. He could hit like 57-footers this week, and it wouldn't shock me in the least. So I think I would consider him again if I was making like 150 lineups, wanted to get a few different differentiation guys in there at this range. That's where I would be heading. Stenson is definitely like the pedigree guy, but Thompson definitely been playing better.
Yeah, Max, I brought up Thompson because he actually profiled as the best. He came tied 20th here, and I think his last start or his only start here. These are really below the radar names. And again, you know, we'll talk about, of course, the favorites. But of the older gentlemen or older winners, the amateurs, I mean, even the amateur profiles, they don't really profile that good this week. Any really below the radar guys that you want to make a case for before we move on to some of the more prominent golfers this week?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, Ben calls them what, create a golfer, but like you can't really say create a golfer for these guys because they're legit players, right? They've all won, but they're just not guys that I would be like. The only guy I can see here at 6,300. Is Charles Schwartzel, actually. He's been making some cuts, right? And like he seems to always play well at the Masters. I think he came in T25 at the one in November, just out of nowhere. It's a course that obviously everyone likes, but he seems to enjoy more so than others. And even Zach Johnson, like you were talking about playing him last week, he's here at 6,300.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The only highlight I can remember from him at the Masters is when he topped that tee ball.
Instead, it was a practice shot.
Yeah. So other than that, I really don't see anybody here.
I mean, it is interesting since we're moving up a little bit. Like Wallace and Matt Jones here are playing pretty good golf. Like Matt Jones won like three events ago. I mean, this dude's been playing good for a while. So I do think like, you really have to make a decision. Are you going to go with the veteran, the guys who won with Johnson and Schwartzel, or Jones and Wallace, the recent form? I always sort of side with the younger guys. I feel like there's more upside with Jones and Wallace. I will take a hard look at those two for sure this week. I think if you want to fit in like two 10K guys, I think those guys are viable. I think that you could get top 20s out of those guys. They're playing very good right now, both of them. So
especially Wallace. Well, one of the funnier tidbits of the week, or snippets, I should say, if you're on DraftKings and you're looking down the player list pool, you may run into Angel Cabrera, who sadly won't be competing here this week. He's spending time in federal prison in Brazil.
No.
For some crazy, crazy story. If you're interested, go research it. It's pretty insane. He won't be competing here.
I'm going to have to get Angel's like one of my favorite players to watch over there. This is.
Yeah. He would smoke a pack of cigarettes between each hole when he was going
to
win.
Swing.
Yeah. Oh, he did have a good swing back then. So.
Breaking news.
Let's profile Augusta really quickly before we then get into our full DFS preview, where we're going to break down some lineup strategies, talk about the different contests we've got going on this week throughout the industry. So quickly on Augusta, 67% of the fairways are going to be hit. So guys like Matt Wallace or Jordan Spieth going to have a lot more opportunity to hit fairways, and they don't typically do that. Although last week they both played pretty well. Still, easier to hit fairways. Greens, still relatively hard to hit, and you've got to be good on and around the greens, especially when it's going to be firm and fast this week. And there's no doubt, we know that there's a little bit of rain coming in, but Augusta's already talked about how they've got these special machines that can take out moisture from the greens and yada, yada. Listen, we have not had a lot of rain here in the Southeast. It is going to be firm and fast. Max, that's got to change up the strategy. Maybe not strategy. It's going to change up the scoring, which I think will then in essence change up the strategy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just look at guys that play better when it's harder here, right? So the year that Willett won, the year that Spieth won, those are going to be the more comparable years when you're looking at course history. And it kind of takes me off more so off the young guys that do play better at courses where you can score well, like a Matty Jones. You know, these are the guys that pop at courses where
it's tough, you can make grind.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's going to be looking at guys more like a Paul Casey, like an Adam Scott, guys that have played Augusta when it's been really hard.
Yeah, Jeff, and we'll get into that range. There's definitely a hot range in that Adam Scott territory. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason why Adam Scott profiles better on a minus 12 winning score than a minus 25 winning score. He doesn't putt as good as everybody else, but he does everything else better. And that's what's highlighted in events like this, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just the tee to green thing. I mean, even when Augusta plays, you know, it played easier in November, and you saw a few other guys, you know, different names pop up, guys like Answer and Munoz, who maybe just had like really solid scoring weeks above average. It's generally like the tee to green. I mean, I know just going over the past winners here, the past five winners, like four of them have gained 12 or more strokes tee to green. And that's just Adam Scott's MO, right? Like even if he's going to putt bad, he's going to putt good, but he's pretty much always going to gain a lot of like over the field tee to green. And he's going to make the cut here. Like he has 11 straight years in a row, and at 7,600, you know, he really hasn't played that badly to start the year. He's had some issues with his driver, but maybe that's getting figured out. And even if it isn't, 7,600, like, this range is chock full of guys you're going to want to play.
Absolutely. All right, let's go into our DFS preview here. But before we do, of course, got to let you know about a couple of other things we got going on here in Osmo. And of course, one of the things we love is the Osmo Hall of Fame. So that's our Twitter account where we share all of your successes. So, of course, if you have a big night in any DFS or big week for golf, golf is weekly, of course, or daily if you're doing the showdown stuff, we love to hear about it. So head on over to Twitter at Osmo HOF account where we compile all the winning screenshots and shout outs for the Osmo Plus community. So go over there and check it out whenever you get a chance or whenever you have a big win, which is going to come this week because we're going to teach you exactly how to win the Millionaire Maker contest. Maybe we won't tell you the exact players to use, or although we might try, we're going to tell you some of the strategies that have worked in the past. So when we look at a contest, Max, like the $10 Millionaire Maker on DraftKings this week, there's 500,000 entries. First question. Do you think it's going to be a single lineup that takes it down this week, given the fact that it's our lowest buy-in for a golf Millionaire Maker, I think, ever? I don't know if we've ever had a $10.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird to think about how far we've come with golf, right? Like, these contests are just as big as NFL used to have, you know? And NFL is like, oh, this huge sport, but golf is really come up huge lately. And it's my favorite DFS sport just because you get 4 days of sweat, especially if you get a 6 of 6 through, which most people will at the Masters. So I'm glad to see that DraftKings is stepping up to the plate and giving us a ton of good contests. But as far as your question goes, I think that it's going to be difficult for a single lineup to take it down this week just because of the player pool, right? The player pool is much smaller than other majors, than other Millie makers that we've had. So yeah, I feel like the chalk is also pretty good this week. Like, there's a reason these guys are chalky, not just because they've had such good results here in the past, but good recent form as well. So if, like you're saying, if Jordan's going to win, I don't think a single lineup can take it down.
So Jeff, I'll just push back a little bit on Max's point and tell you that Dustin Johnson was 34% owned in November. I think that's where we're going to end up with Spieth in the $10 contest, maybe a little higher in the $100, but we'll just focus on the $10 for a second here. And it was not a duplicated lineup. It had Justin Thomas in it. Then it found the low owned guys like Sung J.M., Abraham Answer, Cam Smith, Cam Champ, all under 13% owned. So do you think that, I think maybe it was a little more wide open in November. Do you think that because it's maybe not as wide open, we will see a duplicated lineup? And the fact that it was, I think, a $27 buy-in versus a $10 buy-in.
Yeah, I think there's probably a little bit more chance of it. I think that people will also, you know, the plays under 7K, I don't want to say they're obvious, but I think that people will gravitate towards the same ones a little bit more when they're building. And I think that'll just probably lend itself towards just a little bit slightly higher possibility of a duplicated lineup. I think that for, like, you know, a better chance of a single entry, you might need a guy like we were talking about, like a Matt Wallace or Matt Jones, to kind of pop up, because I think the other plays in the, like, the 6K range, I think most people will be over. So we might really need like kind of a superhero week from some, I don't want to say an unknown, but just a player not trending with like a ton of heat at all. Be like a Matt Wolf or something, right? But I do think that, like, the under 6K range will sort of concentrate itself enough that there'll be a higher chance of a duplicated lineup. I mean, look, anything can happen. Some guy could leave like 1500 off or something, and that could win. But I'd say a slightly higher chance for sure. It's also a smaller field, right? So that just by itself, you know.
A couple of trends, Max, that I'll tell you about that, of course, you can find in my Against the Grain article. It'll be coming out there on Wednesday. Just some from the Masters specifically. Ownership for the total lineup has stayed below 90% for it. A couple of other things as well. They've had each of them at the Masters specifically, which is interesting, has had more golfers over 9,000 rostered in them than any other ones, which is kind of random. Maybe it's just, again, the chalk is a chalk for a reason. So if we take that strategy, I'll lower it down to 9,500 to get Spieth in there for us. If you think it's two guys this week, you're only making, you told me, maybe sometimes you have a me, but most of the time you stick to three lineups. So I'll do two-part question. If you're doing your three lineup thing, are you going to get in all of the guys above 9,500 or will there be somebody you fade? And if so, who? And if you're going to MME, who are going to be your top targets this week? I know it's early, but we'll at least give the early set.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely want leverage in on a slate like this, especially at the Masters where guys are going to be chalky. Like you were saying that you were going to go 100% Jordan Spieth. If you're going to play Spieth, I don't think it's a bad idea to go 100% just because it gives you three times more lineups to bank the GPP than everybody else if he's around 33% owned. For me, I am actually probably not going to play many guys over 10K just because I can find something I don't like about most of them. And the 9K range just feels really strong to me. Like the Cantlays, the Spieths. I think I'm going to go probably 100% Cantlay this week and build from there.
Might make it tough then if you are putting in Spieth or another guy in 9K to get in Bryson or Justin or anybody if you're doing three lineups.
Yeah, exactly. Dustin is really the guy that's tough to get in. I've been playing with lineups this morning and he's the only one I feel like with that $700 more than Bryson, 1K more than JT. He's very, very hard to get in. And I can find a reason to fade him, right? Like since he's had his driver change, like I think he tried out the new driver at the Workday, the replacement for the Mexico WGC. And since then, his results have not been good. Oh. And you kind of need the driver for him to be good. Like he doesn't do the short game as well as the other guys. So when his driver struggles, he struggles. So, and at 11.5, you need him to win, right? You need him to come in top three, basically. So he's one guy that I feel like, and maybe the public will do the same as me, and that will give you leverage. Like if he's 15% owned, maybe you do have to have some shares, especially if you're MME. But I can't find a way to fade most of the 10K guys, especially if you want to go over the field on the Caseys and the Scotts.
Jeff, it looks like early indications from our own awesome Alex Baker's projections, exactly what you said on the show last night might happen. A overpriced, under-owned Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
Does that interest you or is there just too much value in Cantlay, Spieth, Morikawa that even with the projected 10% or around there on Schauffele, you can't get to him this week?
So
And you can take it two parts too. Your main lineup and then GPPs. Oops, sorry, I hit my.
Yeah, no, for sure. Again, yes, I don't think Schauffele necessarily, like if you're making a core lineup or something, he needs to necessarily be a part. But you know, and this maybe speaks more to Max's point. Like, if you're looking to pay up for guys over 10K, it's a lot easier to fit Schauffele in, and it looks like you're going to get him at similar ownership percentages to Dustin. I think with the way Dustin is coming in, I think, and the price difference between him and a guy like Schauffele, and we can throw Rory into this conversation as well. I think Schauffele and Rory can score the same as Dustin this week. I mean, I think Dustin with the driver change, the putting. So I'd be looking to those guys for like leverage more than Dustin this week. They're easier to fit in. I still feel like Dustin just being the number one player in the world and defending champ, probably going to get some ownership, maybe even a late boost as you know, the community kind of goes, oh, Dustin's going to be like 12, 15%. Oh, let's all jump on him last minute. I see that happening more with Dustin than the other players. So I think Schauffele and Rory, it's almost like they make good co-pilots, right? I want to target Cantlay and Spieth too. I'm going to do that. But I also think that, you know, stacking them with one of those 10K guys and then, you know, dipping down and using the sub 7K guys is something I want to do too. So Schauffele, maybe even Rahm and maybe Rory, you know, those are the guys I'll be targeting there.
Yeah.
And of course, Bryson. I'm definitely going to have Bryson.
Right. And I think that's the thing where we got to bring it up, right? There's the $10, which, you know, allows you 150 entries, of course, that, you know, I certainly will be doing. So I'm going to probably have some of all these guys. For the $4,400 contest, for me, I think, of course, it's Spieth. That's my first guy I click. For me, I can only get one more guy. I'm toying between either going to Bryson or down to Cantlay. Max, obviously it's a little bit easier for me to fit in four guys just going to Cantlay. It sounds like you're okay with the win equity difference between DeChambeau and Cantlay, given that Cantlay's $1,000 cheaper. Does that mean you're going to just simply have more Cantlay for that reason?
Yeah, for sure, especially in the high stakes. And I think that's one point we have to bring up, is that just from the Twitter chatter, it feels like the high stakes guys are going to fade the Spieths and the Cantlays a lot more than and try to get leverage on them.
Yep.
So when you're playing the $10, I think you can play a bunch of Spieth. I think the ownership is going to be a lot more spread out there than it will be in the high stakes contests.
And where people, a great point, not to cut you off, but Alex has Spieth as the top owned, projected owned at 23% this week in the $10. That's what Osmo projections are based off of. So it's a great point.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you can, I'm usually a guy that throws my lineup into everything, but this week I think it makes a lot of sense to play different lineups in the $10 and the 888s or the 4400s, just because of the way the different guys that play those perceive this tournament. And to your point, I don't think there's much of a difference between Bryson and Cantlay, to be honest. As far as their scoring, as far as their outcomes are concerned, I think Cantlay is underpriced. If I was pricing this instead of DK, I would put Cantlay third after Bryson and DJ, to be honest. Like, I think he's playing better than Rom. I think he's playing better than JT. I think he's playing definitely better than Rory and Xander. So yeah, I think Cantlay is underpriced, and that'll definitely up his ownership, especially in the high stakes.
And I think a lot of the reason maybe to that is Cantlay got sick at the concession. Didn't say he had COVID, but again, we brought this up last night. Definitely affected his game at the Players. Bounced back, looked pretty good at the match play. So Jeff, if we want to, if I tell you that, look, Spieth's going to come in first, DeChambeau's going to score just as many points as Spieth because he's going to have an albatross this week. Maybe two eagles, maybe not an albatross, two eagles, a couple, maybe even more than two eagles. Regardless, and I want to get Cantlay in there. It's going to leave me 6,600 per golfer left. Now, you brought up Matt Wallace already. I brought up Ryan Palmer. I mean, we put those two guys in, and now actually we can go out and get a pretty good amount of golfers. So is that too aggressive for a name build this week for you?
You know, I actually don't think it is. I really don't. I think you look at the talent range. I know we like these veterans guys, but again, for GPPs, like we really just want to focus on upside. I mean, you know, again, is Ryan Palmer like playing worse than Adam Scott right now? He's really not. You know, I can't even remember the other guy you brought, Matt Wallace. I mean, you know, two top 20s now over his last couple starts. I mean, these guys have upside, and I think that this week you can do that. I think that's a strategy I'm definitely want to explore. I think there's even more guys. Again, you know, regardless of if you're going with those three or a couple others, you can even leave yourself a couple hundred more dollars, and you can like stack like Siwoo and Woodland or something like that, or Kuchar or Harmon. These guys have a lot of upside. I don't think there's that big a talent difference between the 7K and the 6K range that you should be avoiding that. So right now, you know, again, we're early in the week here, but that is definitely the way I'm leaning. I think I want to take advantage of the guys under 7K as much as possible.
Max, is that too aggressive for, okay, two-part question. For those that are going to be joining the 4,400, is that too aggressive for you to put in three guys above 9,400? And then subsequent question for the $100, do you think that we're leaving out too much win equity in the Adam Scott and Paul Casey range that we won't be able to get to stacking three guys above 9.4K? What do you think the strategy is as you go down the buy-in?
Yeah, so that's my point basically with the 7K guys, is I feel like a lot of them can win, whereas the 6K guys, I would have a hard time imagining them winning. Yep. So especially if it's plays hard, right? So if it plays hard, there's not as many birdies. You really need to get the placement points. Yep. So if you get the placement points out of the 7K guys that you can't get out of the 6K guys, I don't know if you can come into that one top 1% in the $100 where you're going to be able to give yourself a chance to win the GPPs, right? I am all about the way Jeff perceives the tournaments. Last week, I played a ton of 6K guys. But for me, it just depends on the field. If it's a tough field where the 7K guys, like 1K more, gives me a Paul Casey over a Ryan Palmer, I'm just going to play Paul Casey every time, in the high stakes anyway. So that's kind of my answer for that.
Yeah, I think it's a perfectly a good answer. Right now, again, my lean is two guys mix in this 7,700 range. Fill out my last four guys. Bill Moore conservative. Toying again between going down to Ryan Palmer and going up to Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Cantlay and Jason Day are the other two names on the other side of that. That's one of the early decisions for me this week. Again, looks like it'll be about where leverage is going forward. So, okay, let's march down the salary board a little bit. We've talked a lot about of the guys above 9,000, but haven't talked about the 9,100, say 9,200 with Brooks Koepka, even Patrick Reed at 9,300. He's in play. Down to 8,000. A lot of names there. Maybe a spot for Lee Westwood to go really low owned as people aren't ready to buy in. Great course history. Guy that stuck out to me. Jeff, how about a couple of guys that stuck out to you in this range? Obviously, with Spieth getting a ton of talk, maybe Patrick Reed is in a spot of leverage.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting to see what the public, so to speak, does with Brooks Koepka this week. I have a feeling he's going to get more and more popular as the week goes on. You know, a player with a really good Masters record. So, I think that's going to be a player that decides, you know, if people just keep buying in on him. I think Reed, Finau, mainly Reed and Finau are going to be the guys who go kind of overlooked here. Simpson's always going to get some love. You know, he's 9K, he's cheap, he makes cuts. People love that. People look at him as like a lesser Jordan Spieth kind of thing. You know, just probably going to make the cut, maybe, you know, get in contention and just be solid for you. So I think you could see some Spieth, Simpson sort of builds, maybe Spieth Koepka builds, but Reed and Finau in that range are guys going to go overlooked. I don't know if I really want to play Tony Finau, but you know, again, if his ownership just keeps trending down, the dude can certainly bounce back very quickly and he can certainly make a lot of birdies. So that to me might be the guy to keep an eye on here. I think Brooks will get ownership. I think Simpson will get ownership. And I think Reed and Finau are the guys you want to keep an eye on.
I don't ever play Simpson, and I don't think I'm going to, given the fact that I feel like I can get a guy $300 more in Patrick Reed. That gives me pretty much what Simpson does. I don't think he profiles well for Augusta. I talk bad about this guy, but he's a really nice guy. Quality golfer, Max. Should I be playing him this week?
I hate Webb Simpson. I think he's the guy that cost me the most money out of anyone in my DFS tenure. So he may be a really nice guy, but he's not somebody that
that's been really good to me. I don't, wow.
He's always chalky and I always fade him and he always does well.
Yep.
So
exactly.
That's basically the recipe there. But I think the 8K range is your leverage range, from 8,900 to 8K. Basically all these guys have question marks. All these guys feel like they're 1K too expensive to me. Yeah. Like, I feel like you can flip the 7K range and the 8K range and nobody would blink an eye.
I feel like they do that sometimes, though.
Yeah.
I feel like it prints out where Adam Scott's at actually 8,700 and whoever it is, Ty Hatton is actually 7,800, and they just flip them for whatever the reason.
Yeah, it feels weird. But this is the spot where you would get your leverage. I feel like Sung Jae Im is always overowned and people are going to look at his last result and they're going to love what they saw in November. But again, we already talked about the course playing completely different. So he's a guy that I would probably avoid in this range. I think everybody else will come in underowned. Maybe Matty Fitz or like Tommy Fleetwood down lower will get some ownership. But other than those two guys, I don't see anybody playing Decky. Or even Scheffler or Hovland, even though they've been popular recently, I don't think people are going to go to that range. They'll just go to the 9Ks or the 7Ks.
I will say this. I definitely like Lee Westwood in this range. He's going to be like 5% owned.
Oh, yeah.
I will definitely play Lee Westwood, probably even over Finau and definitely over Simpson. I love it. Give me a low on Lee Westwood here.
He always pops when it plays hard, too.
Yeah, I agree. Harder, better for Lee Westwood this week, too.
Profile super well. Jeff, a couple of other names. We know that Ty Hatton does not show up in big events. We can cross his name off the list. He's not going to hurt us this week if we do that. Victor Hovland, though, not playing good golf right now. Looks like he could be pretty chalky at 8,700 on the first run of ownership. So is it an easy fade spot for you? I just don't think it's the golf course for him where short game is so important. And he just does not really have it. Gotten better, but still doesn't have it.
Yeah, Victor Hovland just seems ripe for like a four putt too, doesn't he? Right, like,
yeah.
No, and maybe he'll make like three birdies right after and get himself in there. But I think at 8,700, yeah, this is kind of like where some of these guys, and maybe you could get Sanjay in there too. You know, Berger was the guy I don't mind eating some chalk with here, but the rest of them feel a little bit overpriced compared to the 7K range. So, you know, Hovland not at the top of his game, you know, maybe the course profile, whatever, just, you know, still maybe hasn't figured out the putter to the extent we want. I'm okay fading that. I agree. You know, that's kind of where I would start thinking about, well, you know, it just overpaying for some of these guys. Cam Smith's going to be popular. I'm not overly interested in really like going super overweight or anyone. Berger, I think, is a fine play, but you know, the rest, I just feel like with that group in the high 7K range, starting with Sergio, maybe even throw Tommy Fleetwood in there. You know, I'd just rather go down there.
Yeah, Max, we got a couple of minutes left as the NHL Strategy Show is going to follow us here. And of course, don't worry, we've got plenty of more live shows coming up tomorrow, 2 o'clock, I think, might be moved up. We got Ben and I, and then of course, Live Before Lock Wednesday night. Ben's coming back, Eric's coming back, and boss man Alex Baker is going to join the show. So tune in for that. After I get the little one down, I will be tuning in myself to give the guys a hard time and ask my pressing last questions. But also, with just less than 2 minutes left, two top fives and four tries for Cameron Smith. Max, he is my target in this 8,000 range. I like him a lot this week. I think he's playing great golf, and I think he sets up perfectly for this golf course.
Yeah, fade for me. Just because my narrative this week is going with the more experienced guys. It's weird. Like, whenever I see Cam do well, he just kills it with a putter. And that's the kind of guys that I feel like I'll just avoid and play guys like Sergio and try to get the variance of them maybe figuring something out with a putter. With Cam, it's hard for me just because I like the guy. And to be honest, he's made me money over the years. But I feel like here, I would rather go down and save a little bit of money with the older guys.
All right, Jeff, less than 60 seconds left. I'm going to throw five names at you. I want you to rank them for me quickly.
Okay.
Or four names. Sorry, four names. Yep. Paul Casey, Adam Scott, Jason Day, and Louis Oosthuizen. And you can say all of them because I'm saying all of them.
I'll go. We'll go with just, you know, pure upside. We'll go Casey, Scott, Day, Louis. It pains me to put Louis last, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. Max, you will end the show with your last four.
I mean, I agree with Jeff exactly on those guys. Yeah, I would go Casey first. I would actually go Day second, just because he scores it a little bit better than the other two guys. But Louis last.
Putter shows up. I would agree with that call. We're just waiting for Jason Day's putter to show up. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally agree. Well, that will do it for us here on the PGA DFS Look Show for the Masters. But of course, we're going to have a ton of more content coming out. It is the biggest week of the golfing year and the biggest PGA DFS week of all time. So enjoy it. We will see you tomorrow for the PGA DFS Strategy Show. Cheers, everybody.